flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's Andrew Wiggins. You're listening to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Is that Chicago Bull, Andrew Wiggins? What?
Hey, is that Miami Heat, Andrew Wiggins?
I do want to shout out those of you who just sent in messages, and you're right. That trade makes the Warriors markedly worse defensively.
Yeah, no doubt.
Holy crap. Bye, GP2. Bye, Andrew Wiggins. Bye, Dennis Schroeder. And on the way in are two dreadful defensive players.
Especially Vucevic. Yeah.
So.
But they can score the rock.
Yeah. You know, are you shoring up one dam just to create another?
Maybe.
You know? And I do. It's funny because we had that conversation a lot, I think, about the 49ers this year in a different way. It wasn't about, like, trying to make a trade or anything like that. But there was all this conversation about, you know, Brock Purdy, obviously, the running back injuries, the offensive line, blah, blah, blah. And that's all 100% fair. I still am going to go to the grave thinking that the defense was the bigger problem. But what do we focus on when we watch sports?
Offense.
There you go. Scoring
points.
Right. Said no one ever. I'm going to the Giants game to see those outfielders catch that ball.
I want a 1-0 ball game.
So anyway, 888-957-9570. Lucas has officially ended my life by putting this trade on Twitter and putting my name on it. So thank you very much, Lucas. I appreciate that. I will now be fending off my phone for the next 12 hours of my life. Because while I guess I can lay claim to it being my trade idea, the way that you write that is clearly that, like, so here's what Mark wants to do. And, like, that was not the context of this conversation at all. It was, can you find something that works? And so I did. Would I do this? Ugh. I guess.
Yep. Your idea.
I guess.
Stand on it.
No, but that's, like, what you're hearing from me is how I feel about it. Because I do think you'll stink on the defensive side. Like, ask me if I think that means the Warriors are going to go win something.
Well, what do you define win something?
Go to the playoffs and win a round.
Do you think the Warriors, with that trade, will go to the playoffs and win a round?
No, I don't. Defense matters even more in the playoffs than it does in the regular season. And so I think that that team would have maybe a better chance to get to the playoffs, but they'd probably have a worse chance to do something once they got there. That'd be my take on the deal. And I have questions, like, beyond this year. So if you were to do a deal like that, what does that mean for Jonathan Kuminga? Everybody's so focused on keeping him, but you want to make a deal that would make keeping him preventative going forward beyond this year. So, you know, I tried to ask a similar question to Eric Pincus, who is a capologist and has been with Bleacher Report and a bunch of places. I tried to ask him a similar question about that this morning with regard to Jimmy Butler. Everyone's like, oh, you can get Jimmy Butler and keep Kuminga, but can you? And I asked him, I'm like, can they fit an extension for Kuminga into a team that also has Butler? What I was looking for was a yes or a no.
And he gave you something else.
I did not get that. I got option C, which is, I think if they get Butler, Kuminga's in the deal. And maybe by extension, that was his way of saying no. They can't fit Kuminga into an extension.
Yeah.
Or any one of these deals is a signal that they are not sold on the Jonathan Kuminga future. And I do think that's a very worthwhile part of this conversation, my opinion. You go acquire players like this, doesn't matter, Butler, LaVine, whatever. You go acquire players like this, I do think that that is a signal that the Warriors franchise, the basketball people, do not believe that Jonathan Kuminga is some sort of a future all-star.
Mm-hmm. Or at the very least, maybe they're uncertain about that. Or maybe also part of it is they feel like his market is not going to be robust at all, and they might be able to get him at a number that is lower
maybe
than expected, and maybe they could find a way to fit him in that way.
Maybe.
But that seems less likely.
Yeah, and then we arrive at the spot, and I hope I speak for almost all fans out there. Then we arrive at the spot where I'm like, all I can do is shrug my shoulders. I have no idea if that's doable, allowed, what the Warriors the board of directors are thinking with regard to luxury tax and going over and spending this, that, and the other. I have no idea what they're thinking about that. Or if it's even legal to have all those contracts next year. But if the answer is yes, then I'll go into fan mode. I don't care what you spend. I do not care what you spend. You want to luxury tax yourself to death?
Sure. Out. Go for it.
You're billionaires. I don't care. I don't care. Get a yacht. Sure, get five. Like, great. That stuff always kind of makes me laugh when fans worry about that stuff. Again, if you're telling me it's not preventative of anything in the future, knock yourself out.
Yeah, and they got themselves out of the second apron this year, so you avoid the repeater offense that would come. You could go right back into the deep into the aprons next year, and then get out the following year, so you avoid all that. The new CBA is something that every team is going to have to try to figure out how it works and what's the best strategy. And the Warriors, you know, probably are one of the teams that has to be as creative as any other going forward. I think in general, it's so much fun to run through all these potential trades.
For sure.
Would this make the team better?
Steph loves it.
Hi,
Steph. I know you're probably on your way to Chase Center right now.
Probable.
We're on the ESPN trade machine right now, Steph.
Probable.
Sorry. We're just being us.
Yeah, and
we're
Lucas,
just having
and
fun.
Lucas's Twitter fingers back there.
Oh,
they're twittering.
But go ahead.
I think in general, when we are trying to decide whether or not this trade makes the Warriors better, and yeah, they're better offensively, but does the loss defensively outweigh the offensive gain? Honestly, I feel like and this is easy for me to say when I'm not in charge of making the decision and there's actual ramifications on real people and futures and jobs and all that, and I get it. So I don't want to minimize that aspect of it. I think given the situation the Warriors are in, we tend to overthink this stuff. Like, the Warriors are stuck in this mediocrity and they've been here for 2.5 years now, like, I am less of the mind of, well, it's not a perfect deal. There's a plus. There's a minus. Is it going to weigh? Is it going to even out? Is it going to be a net negative? Are we worried about the future? I'm just of the mind, if you are set on trying to win, then you have to do something. You have to just do something.
Well,
and I don't know what is out there that fits the Warriors better in a simple, one team has two assets they're looking to trade.
Sure.
And the Warriors, you know, interested theoretically. I don't know what the better, more simpler option is.
Well, and here is what I would argue is the best shiny piece of a deal like this. I won't even say this deal, but a deal like this. I think it fits into what Steph Curry and Steve Kerr said a week and a half ago, which is that we're not going to do anything irresponsible. This would not be giving up anything in the future that you're worried about. This is not giving up 3 first-rounders and 2 first-round pick swaps and Jonathan and pods and blah, 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 blah. All the things that I think the Warriors, at least in the offseason, were protecting a little bit.
When it came to Lowry Marketing, for example.
Sure. This is something that, let's say, you do shoot for the moon and you miss. Okay. 3 of these 5 players you're giving up, we're leaving at the end of the year anyway. One of them is Andrew Wiggins, which is like, that's not a death blow. You know, that's been an up and down relationship, and the Warriors, I think, were very activated about the idea of getting him off the roster last year and could not. Mm-hmm. And then the other player is Kyle Anderson. It's just like
in and out of the rotation
all year.
Yeah,
they didn't play him for the most part.
Played a little bit last night.
Yeah, he's a good basketball player, super smart player, and very useful on many, many a roster, but not a linchpin. And if you do have to give up a first round pick, which I don't know that you would, but again, if you do, my hope would be the middle ground. If the Warriors are like, we'll give you 2 twos, and the Bulls are like, give us your one, the middle ground is we'll give you a one, but not this one. You get 2029 or something like that.
I read the rest of what Anthony Slater and Marcus Thompson wrote, which started this whole conversation. What they added in there was if – They seem to not be, they would not be surprised if the Warriors were to trade their first round pick for this year, with one caveat of it would be protected, like top 10 protected,
or
at least lottery protected. And the logic there is they're hearing from the Warriors that the Warriors aren't that intrigued by the prospects around like the 14, 15, 16 range.
That's interesting.
So if your pick falls in that area, they feel like they might not be missing that much. So maybe it's top 12 protected or top, maybe it's just lottery protected, whatever the case may be. And so if it conveys in their season fails and they don't make the playoffs and they're in the lottery, they get to make their pick. They feel like they get someone of value there. But if they go to the playoffs and their pick is 18th,
Then you can have it.
Then you can have it,
yes.
And then we'll get our pick next year, and we'll be fine.
I think that's totally fair. And another way to say that is, if we do this deal, if it works, you can have our pick. If the deal doesn't work, we keep our pick.
And there's
that's another way of saying it.
There's a reality it doesn't work this year, and it also fails next year, and you're giving up a valuable pick next year.
Yeah,
but yes.
Look, you gotta dance.
Yeah.
If you want to go to the party,
there's obviously no move here where there's no risk involved, and that would be the major risk.
We're going to go to the phones here in just a sec. 888-957-9570. Have you looked at the Twitter poll? Tell me that you have not looked at
the Twitter poll. I have not looked at the
Perfect.
Twitter poll.
I would like for you to guess how our audience is responding to Lucas's irresponsible tweet.
your trade suggestion, that tweet.
The trade suggestion that I spent all night coming up with, and I would definitely do if I were the general manager of either of these teams.
And you were pouring over rules of the CBA, making sure it all
That's
works.
That's right.
And
you know I hate Dennis Schroeder. Yeah. I want him off this team. No.
he was good last night.
He was. So anyway, the deal that works on the thingamajig on ESPN Trade Machine.
Read it off to me again.
The Warriors get Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. The Bulls would get Andrew Wiggins, Dennis Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, Kevon Looney, and Golden State's protected first-round pick. That's the deal, okay? What do you think? It's a yes or no question. Mm-hmm. Would you do it? What do you think our audience is saying?
I would say 67% of the audience says, yes, I would do it.
You are correct in what is winning. You are too low.
Too low.
You are
73%.
That's exactly the number. Whoa. So three quarters.
I was close.
Three quarters of the Twitter audience would do it.
That's a unique audience.
It's a unique audience.
That is generally the audience that's, hell yeah, do it. Do anything.
They want to whack everyone across the face. Yeah, get them out of here. Get some new people in here so we can rip them too. That's that audience. Yes. And so three quarters of them would like to do it. Yeah. So that's what we're looking at. Let's go to Coleslaw in San Diego. Hi, Coleslaw. What are you doing?
It's Coach Hall. I don't know why he called me Coleslaw.
No, but I'll tell you why I called you Coleslaw, because that's what it says on my screen. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to call you food. Wait, say your name again. What's your name?
Coach Hall. Coach Hall, like hallway.
Oh, Coach Hall. Oh, Steven. Yeah. Hey, Coach Hall, just so you know, Steven, who's handling phones today, his face is in his hands. He's mortified. He's mortified. I'm like, if you're going to call the guy a side dish, let's go with French fry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, much, much better.
Yeah. All right, Coach Hall, what's going on?
I think for me, the math isn't mathing, because if we get Jimmy, we're giving up too much, right? And then we don't have any wings. And if we go get Vooch from the Bulls, then once again, we don't have a wing to play defense with Wiggins. I think we're two players away. What makes the most sense, but I know it's not mathematically possible, is to get LaVine and Vooch from the Bulls. But how can we do that without giving up Kuminga or Wiggins? Like, I feel like if we go and get, you know, a trade, there's going to be a void. If we get a big, we're going to be missing a wing and nobody to play defense. So I'm just trying to scratch my head and see how does it make sense.
Coach, so first of all, you're right that there's no way to do it without giving up Wiggins. But I'm interested into why you think that's preventative. Like, if you were to get Zach LaVine, why would you still want Wiggins and Kuminga? Now you've got a wing logjam.
I think for one or the other, because I don't know if LaVine is a two-way player like that. And then wouldn't we have to give up GP2 as well? I'm just thinking of it from like a defense aspect. Like, ideally, if we could get Vooch and LaVine and maybe keep Kuminga, I think that would be the best bet. But I don't. Who's going to play defense if we get them?
It's a great question. All I can do is sit here and admit that you're right, that this trade idea, it makes the Warriors way worse on the defensive end.
Well,
no question.
I will say you can make it work if you keep Wiggins and Kuminga, but the only other way to do it, assuming you're not trading Steph, and of course they're not, is trading Draymond. You're also not trading Draymond, but that doesn't really make you better defensively either, because Draymond is the quarterback of the defense, even though, you know, he's injured right now.
You could probably get Vucevic without giving up Wiggins or Kuminga. You could probably get Vucevic.
Yeah.
Just Vucevic.
Yeah.
Not LaVine. And while I have been and continue to be in full favor of getting yet another stretch five, I know everyone's like, ooh, Quentin Post, great, get two. Get one who's actually been in the NBA for a long time, who will be more consistent. Quentin Post can learn under him. They can swap minutes, all of those things. Like, I'm in favor of getting Vucevic, but that doesn't give you that put the ball in his hands, final 5 minutes, go get me a bucket. I know everybody wants that. I get that. Like, that part of Zach LaVine, I understand. Guru and I have had this conversation 12 times. and he wants that bucket getter. And I understand. I do. I get that aspect of it. It's when we start to dive into the contextual pieces of what happens on the other end of the floor, what happens in 2026, what happens in 2027, with those contractual numbers, those are my questions. And I can't even fully answer those. I don't know if this deal means that Jonathan Kuminga gets to stay for the rest of this year, but then that's it. And nothing you could do after that. If somebody wants to offer him $32 million a year, you're out. And it might mean that.
That might be the reality in the first place anyway. We don't really know.
It might be.
We don't know that for sure. Just for the sake of clarity in any moves like this, any trade that is like acquiring someone $30 or more million per year, 35 or yep. more per year, it has to include either Wiggins or Draymond.
Correct.
Essentially.
Correct.
Like, it yeah, absolutely
the Warriors,
has
yes,
to.
Yeah.
Like, you have three big contracts. It's Steph, it's Wiggins, it's Draymond. So one of those is involved in any big needle mover trade.
Correct.
Of course, you're not trading Steph. I think by extension, you're not trading Draymond, which means by process of elimination, it has to be Wiggins. This isn't you and I hate Wiggins and we want him out of here. This is the only way to get someone who makes good money is by trading away Andrew Wiggins. I think there's a decent chunk of Warrior fans who say, well, they should be willing to trade Draymond. That's a conversation we could have at some point. I'm just saying my expectation is they don't want to do that. They won't do that. So Wiggins is the only realistic option.
I agree with you completely. Yeah. Unless you want to wait till the offseason, and in theory you might be, then Kuminga could be the piece that brings one of these players.
True.
If you wanted to do that. I don't know if anybody wants to do that. But if you wanted to, you could wait to the offseason and reboot this conversation. And potentially at that time, Jonathan Kuminga becomes the big contract piece that can bring you something else.
I said earlier, I feel like when we are breaking down all these trades and ideas and, well, you know, it hurts them defensively, so I'm a little hesitant to do it. Generally, I feel like we overthink all these things. And I want to go back to a conversation we had yesterday to kind of further my point. So the report yesterday, Willard, was that the Jimmy Butler asking price has come down considerably. And maybe the Warriors might be able to get someone like Jimmy Butler, or specifically Jimmy Butler, for Wiggins and salary filler. And that's just about it. And there's still a lot of people out there. I know you are not super high on that trade because of what it might mean for Kuminga's future. But also, you feel like that doesn't really make the Warriors that much better. Like, Jimmy Butler's probably better than Wiggins, not by that much.
No, it does, it brings with it all sorts of potholes.
Let me just read some numbers off to you, okay? This is Andrew Wiggins this year, which you have described as a very solid Wiggins year, bounce back year. He's having himself
a nice year, yes.
And Jimmy Butler is having a season where he doesn't even want to play basketball.
Correct.
Okay? That his motivation is zero. So much that he's not even playing. Imagine when he was playing and what he was doing on the court. Okay, even with that, great Wiggins year, Jimmy Butler not even wanting to play basketball. They're averaging the same amount of points. Butler's averaging more assists, more rebounds. Butler's shooting better from the field, better from the free throw line, better effective field goal percentage.
He's a better player.
This is my point.
He's a better player.
We overthink this. Jimmy Butler is far and away a better basketball player than Andrew Wiggins. This is one of the better years of Wiggins' career, it's the worst of Jimmy Butler's career.
Right, but he's being paid twice as much. Therefore, like, I think it's reflected in their salary, so you're not getting him straight up. If you ask me if you trade Wiggins for Butler, sure, done.
And but what else? You're not giving up that much else.
I don't know what else you're giving up. I don't know what else you're giving up. I don't know what the draft capital is that's going out. I don't know if Jimmy's going to opt into his $52 million next year, and I don't know if Jimmy is going to come in and within 3 weeks hate Steve Kerr. I don't know any of that. So I get where you're coming from. I do. He's a better player. I said that to you yesterday. He's definitely a better player. But does it automatically, like, I don't stop at that question. Does it make the Warriors better right now? I want them to get better, but not at the expense of a bunch of other things. And so that's where my question is.
I hear you.
Yeah. I think we, first of all, knockout tournament keyword is coming up in 20 minutes. I want to dig a little deeper into the observation you had about last night, because we started this show off by asking, what do the Warriors do well? And my sort of tongue-in-cheek response was, they're really good at getting talked about. That's what the Warriors are really good at. Your response, and I don't want to, I mean, you tell me if I'm using these words incorrectly, but your response was the idea that on an individual basis, a lot of the players do well? Play without Steph. A lot of them look different when Steph is not in the game.
Yep.
or not even dressed. And I wonder, let's dig into that a little bit. Did you all see that last night? Do you feel that? Not meaning are the Warriors better without Steph, but player by player, person by person, Do they play differently or feel different? And are there just more minutes available without Steph? And therefore, what does that mean for the bigger picture of his future and the young guys? So we can get into all of that. We'll do that next. Your calls are welcome, 888-957-9570. Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And we're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Grandy in for Dibs, Willard and Dibs.